China wants to have a dominance on its periphery, not just China itself, but extending its boundaries and having almost a buffer zone, you might call it.
The U.S. military says China poses an increasing threat to American defense superiority. This is Thursday, January 17th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Also ahead, an explanation for you about why the U.S. has put travel warnings for Americans to China into effect. The U.S. vice president admits a lull in trade negotiations with Beijing, and the British prime minister faces a no-confidence vote in the parliament. All on today's VOA Asia. China's acquisition of modern and technically advanced weapons pose an increasing threat to American defense superiority. That is one of the findings of a new report from the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency. It suggests that the United States is not moving quickly enough to respond to China's technological advances. Joining us on VOA Asia to talk about this is VOA National Security Correspondent Jeff Selvin. Jeff, thanks for being with us. How has China managed to gain this technical superiority?
Well, there are two ways that China's done this. First, it's been investing a lot of money in its military reorganization and refurbishment program so that it has a force that's capable of deploying outside of China. For so long, Chinese military might was focused on keeping order within China, but increasingly over the past decade, the Chinese have been looking more outward, and they've been investing more in military modernization. They've been reaching out more to other militaries, including the U.S., and learning from those militaries, and they've been building more and more of their own equipment. The other thing that they've been doing, though, to give them a little bit of a jump and perhaps help them compete more quickly with major powers like the U.S., is that they've engaged in what U.S. intelligence and defense officials call military and cyber espionage, where they've been going in trying to steal the plans for different weapon systems, planes, boats, other types of equipment, and then they have a head start. They don't have to put in the same amount of effort and money and time into research and development, and so then they come out with a stealth plane that looks very much like a stealth plane that the U.S. is flying, but they don't have nearly the lead time to get it from the conceptual stage into development.
Well, a lot of companies, of course, in order to do business with China, and this is the reason, one of the reasons for the trade war between the U.S. and China, apparently, is that part of the deal for them to do business in China, talking about U.S. companies, is to give them some information like that.
Right. And China has been very good, according to intelligence officials, about making use of what's called dual use technologies, technologies that have everyday applications that people would use in their normal day-to-day lives, but technology that at the same time can be used for military purposes. And so they're leveraging all of this. They're leveraging the influence they have by their One Belt, One Road policy, as it's been called, where they go out and they reach out to countries that they want to do trade with or that they want to get some raw materials, some resources from. And they've been slowly and steadily expanding their reach. And as they've been doing that, they've been putting the money into their military so that the military can keep up and so that they can project their force, not just with the strength of their economy or the strength of their diplomacy, but also back that up sooner rather than later with the strength of their military.
Now, the question is to do what with that strengthened military? The report from the Defense Intelligence Agency here in Washington says that the Chinese Communist Party is increasingly concerned with dominance across East Asia, driven in large part by Beijing's goal of reunification with Taiwan.
Yes, and the part about Taiwan is interesting. Obviously, the Chinese think that Taiwan should be part of China. And the Defense Intelligence Report indicates that because of their military modernization program, the way they've gone about to increase the lethality and the reach of their weapon systems, that the Chinese military may be becoming more and more confident in their ability to actually retake Taiwan through the use of military force. That they have the weaponry and the capabilities to project themselves beyond Taiwan itself, which would be enough to take Taiwan and prevent anybody else, like the United States, from doing anything about it. But for a long time, intelligence officials have said that one of China's main goals, even looking at it through the lens of the Korean Peninsula and North Korea and its nuclear weapons program, is to balance out their safety and security against what they see as the expanding influence of the United States. China wants to have a dominance on its periphery, not just China itself, but extending its boundaries and having almost a buffer zone, you might call it, in terms of where they control what goes on, where they have the final say, and where they're the major power that influences events.
Now, what kind of weapons are we talking about where they're gaining these advantages over the United States and the rest of the world, for that matter, I would assume? The report says some of it has to do with things that are already up in space, jamming satellites, attacking satellites with lasers, that kind of thing.
Well, not just that. There are also other weapons called hypersonics, hypersonic glide vehicles, which allow you to launch a missile and deliver it much more precisely and much more rapidly than you could with conventional rocket and missile technology. But the warning in the report is stark. According to the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, he writes in the introduction to the report that China is, quote, on the verge of fielding some of the most modern weapon systems in the world. And he goes on to say in some areas, it already leads the world. And the hypersonic missiles, for which there really is no defense yet. We've heard the Russians talk about how they're working on it. The U.S. also has been working on it. But according to U.S. defense intelligence officials in this area, China is leading the way. There are also concerns, not brought up so directly in the report, about what China is doing with AI, artificial intelligence, and quantum computing, and how that's going to allow them to gain advantages in the cyber realm. And in cyberspace, the report says that China views information domination as a key component of any military action, and the use of AI, quantum computing, will help them get there faster.
Jeff Selden is VOA's national security correspondent. Thanks, Jeff.
Anytime.
These are among the top Asia stories you'll find right now on voanews.com. Malaysia says it will maintain a decision to ban Israeli athletes from entering the country to take part in an upcoming competition. Two foreigners, an American and an Indian, were said to be among four people killed in this week's massive suicide truck bombing in Kabul. A former Chinese official says a recent vaccine scandal in eastern China, where 145 children were confirmed to have received expired vaccinations, has once again exposed that country's poor vaccine management. And United Nations Special Rapporteur for Human Rights in North Korea told reporters in Seoul the human rights situation remains dire in North Korea. Expanded coverage of these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. The U.S. State Department has updated its travel advisory on China, calling on Americans to exercise increased caution in the country due to arbitrary enforcement of local laws, as well as special restrictions on dual U.S.-Chinese nationals. The advisory says Chinese authorities have asserted broad authority to prohibit U.S. citizens from leaving China by implementing exit bans, sometimes keeping U.S. citizens in China for years. The warning says China uses exit bans coercively to compel U.S. citizens to participate in Chinese government investigations, to lure individuals back to China from abroad, and to aid authorities in resolving civil disputes in favor of Chinese parties. This warning says in most cases, U.S. citizens only become aware of the exit ban when they attempt to depart China. It adds U.S. citizens under exit bans, and they have been, it adds that U.S. citizens under exit bans have been harassed and threatened. Dolly Yang, a professor of political science at the University of Chicago, got into greater detail about this warning when he spoke with VOA Asia's Doug Bernard.
Well, number one, there are several different levels of travel warning to any country. In this particular case, I think it's a level two. In this particular case, of course, it's based on some sort of assessment of the possibilities for example, entanglements by the local authorities and so on, plus the complications related to the trade conflict. And I think those several different factors came together for the State Department to issue such a warning.
So it sounds like, in your view, this really should not be conflated with what we see happening between China and Canada right now, where several Canadian nationals are being held on charges of espionage. Meanwhile, a Chinese national is being detained in Canada.
Well, this is a little more complicated. Ostensibly, no. In fact, the Chinese government has been very pointed with regard to Canada. But since then, however, the Chinese government itself has issued travel warnings about Chinese nationals seeking to travel to Canada and so on. So in that sense, I think it's much more complicated. And I do think in the case of the Chinese warning, the Chinese warning specifically mentioned requests by third countries, namely in this case it's the United States, in fact. So my sense is actually this is being played out by all different governments in a way. But when the U.S. State Department began to recommend this, come up with this warning, is more of an assessment of some cases, especially because there are many Chinese coming to the U.S., but also many Americans traveling to China and Asia. So, of course, whenever that's the case, there are bound to be some issues, and there was some sort of a pattern, I think.
Let me flip the question on its head briefly for a moment. Do you think that there's any danger of Chinese nationals traveling to the United States being detained on whatever sets of charges, whether it's, you know, all the way up from espionage down to the passport usage? Is that likely to happen?
Well, let me put it this way. The Department of Justice does have a list of people who have been charged, or certainly there have been actually warrants on them. So certainly for those individuals, Chinese nationals, of course, they would be concerned, especially on cybersecurity issues and so on. But overall, obviously, the U.S. and Canada both are countries governed by the rule of law, and I don't think Chinese nationals or nationals of any country should be concerned about traveling in the United States.
Final question. Do you think that any of this might throw a wrench, as it were, into the ongoing negotiations over trade between the United States and China?
Well, those are little noises in respect of the overall trade negotiations. That's a huge issue, and both sides have teams that are extremely focused on their jobs at this moment. I think, of course, with only a few weeks left in the negotiations, as soon as the trade situation gets cleared up or certainly gets better, it should actually also help to smooth relations in other respects.
China hit back against the new U.S. travel advisory. The Associated Press reported Liu Kang, a spokesman for the Chinese Foreign Ministry, said the advice cannot stand up to scrutiny. Happening now in Asia, Netflix and homegrown rival Hotstar plan to adopt self-regulation guidelines for content streamed on their platforms in India in an effort to prevent potential government censorship. That, according to sources familiar with the matter, telling the Reuters news service. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VO Asia. Thanks for being with us on VOA Asia. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence Wednesday admitted that little progress has been made in trade talks with China. Speaking to the chiefs of America's diplomatic missions around the globe at the State Department, Pence said a lull in those talks, even after President Trump met with Chinese President Xi, agreed December 1st during a meeting in Argentina to a truce in their trade war.
We've put China on notice. President Trump's direction, We've placed tariffs on $250 billion of Chinese goods, with the highest tariffs specifically targeting the advanced industries that Beijing is attempting to capture and control, the high parts of the modern economy. As the President's made clear, The United States is prepared to levy even more tariffs until China makes much-needed structural changes and signs a trade deal that works, not only for their nation, but for ours. And we remain hopeful. We remain hopeful that China will come to the table. Even as negotiations take place as we speak, that China will come to the table and finally enter into a fair and reciprocal trade relationship. The truth of the matter is, we also need a better relationship with China and understand our relationship across the Indo-Pacific. We've all seen the aggressive efforts in the South China Sea by China. But the United States of America, as I said before and I say again, will continue to stand with nations across the region for a free and open Indo-Pacific and for freedom of navigation on the seven seas of the world.
U.S. Vice President Mike Pence coming up. A no-confidence vote is taken on the British Prime Minister. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Special English. A way to learn American English and much more. Broadcasting a half hour of world news and features every day on radio. You can also find Special English on television and online at voaspecialenglish.com. For 50 years, helping people understand world events and the language and culture of America.
This news alert from VOA Asia. The European Union will impose tariffs on rice from Cambodia and Myanmar on Friday to curb a surge in imports. The European Commission said that decision, which will be in effect for 3 years, follows a safeguard investigation launched last March after a request from the Italian government. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. The British Prime Minister, Theresa May, survived a no-confidence vote in Parliament Wednesday to remain in office, but saw more of her power ebb away as she battled to keep Brexit on track after lawmakers demolished her European Union divorce deal. May won a narrow victory of 325 votes to 306 votes on an opposition motion seeking to topple her government and trigger a general election. The British Prime Minister suffered an historic defeat in Parliament Tuesday when British lawmakers resoundingly rejected the deal she struck with Brussels for leaving the European Union later this year. As Henry Ridgewell reported, Europe has warned the risks of Britain crashing out with no deal have increased.
The people have already voted! 17.4 million!
Outside Parliament, rival protesters faced off into the night Tuesday. Inside, House of Commons Speaker John Bercow announced the unprecedented defeat for the government's Brexit deal.
The ayes to the right, 202. The noes to the left, 432.
The biggest ever government defeat by 230 votes. Normally, that would force the Prime Minister's resignation, but she vowed to carry on.
The government has heard what the House has said tonight, but I ask members on all sides of the House to listen to the British people who want this issue settled.
Theresa May vowed to seek consensus on the way forward for Brexit. Her best hope is persuading the EU to offer more concessions on the deal to satisfy MPs, says Anand Menon of the UK in a Changing Europe programme at King's College London.
A fig leaf, if you like, to allow them to say, I had my concerns, they've been assuaged by this document from the European Union, now I can change my mind and vote with the Prime Minister or at least abstain. We're confronted with a range of outcomes, they all seem enormously implausible. The deal passing, having another referendum, general election, no deal, one of them will happen.
The EU has ruled out reopening the deal. In London, rival lawmakers are plotting their next move. Some pro-Brexit MPs want to leave the EU without a deal. Others are pushing for a softer exit or a second referendum. The protests are becoming more heated. Gabby Rolfe was among thousands of pro-European demonstrators outside Parliament Tuesday.
80-odd% of people my age are wanting to remain in the EU, and yet their voices are being shouted over by the older generations, those of them who want to leave, when we're the ones who are going to have to live for the longest with the consequences of this.
Nearby, fellow student Owen Reed joined the pro-Brexit protests.
There's so many benefits of us leaving the European Union, and most of all, we can take back control of so many powers which we've given away.
Britain is in uncharted political waters, but one thing is for certain. Whatever happens in Parliament in the coming weeks, on the street, the divides across society will take far longer to heal. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
This news alert from VOA Asia, three North Korean officials, including the top envoy involved in talks with the United States, are booked on a flight to Washington. South Korean media reported Wednesday that suggesting possible movement toward a second summit between U.S. President Donald Trump and the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Tighter laws in several states ruled by Hindu nationalist governments to protect cows, which Hindus consider holy, have had a fallout. More than 5 million stray cows roam the countryside as farmers abandon aging animals, which they once sold. Experts warn the growing problem poses a threat to India's rural economy as the stray animals cause losses for farmers in thousands of villages. Anjana Pasricha visited Uttar Pradesh, India's most populous state, where the problem is the most intense.
Farmers in Uttar Pradesh state are preparing their fields to plant wheat as winter crops ripen. But they worry that their labor might go waste as growing numbers of stray cows wander into fields and eat up crops. This farmer in Abupur village spends much of his time patrolling his fields to chase cows.
Whatever the crop I planted, they did not leave anything. Then I planted mustard, hoping they won't eat it, but they ate that up also. Now they are eating up fodder I have grown. Our problem of strays is worse because we are close to the road.
Neighboring Didoli village is also coping with the havoc caused by stray cows. Their numbers multiplied after a Hindu nationalist government that swept to power in the state in 2017 made protecting cows, considered holy by Hindus, a top agenda. Stricter punishments to prevent cow slaughter ended a trade in aged cows that were previously sold for meat or hides.
In the last 6 months, the problem has intensified by 90%. Now it has increased because everybody is letting loose their animals. Farmers are devastated.
Some farmers are using barbed wire to protect fields from abandoned cows, but most cannot afford sturdy fences. Some tie silver-colored strips hoping to distract the cows. Villagers worry that the stray cows have become a greater threat to their crops than weather uncertainties. Arun Kumar, a relatively well-off farmer with 16 cows, keeps his aged animals. But he says smaller farmers cannot afford to feed unproductive animals.
We have told officials, leaders, whoever we meet, that this is the biggest problem we face today. They say we will think about it, but so far there is no solution.
There are no quick fixes. Although Hindu charities and the government run shelters for aged cows, most, like this one, are already overflowing. The government has imposed a tax to build more shelters, but funding will remain a challenge.
Every government has a right to follow policies on the basis of faith and belief for social reasons. But the government should be aware of the cost implications and should provide for it. You can't put the burden on the farmers. You can't take the burden on yourself, because if you do that, then your allocation for other social sectors will come down.
The government has vowed not to compromise on its goal of protecting cows. But as general elections loom, angry rural communities are seeking assurances that their labor and livelihoods will also be protected. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, Uttar Pradesh.
You have been listening to VOA Asia. You can get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud, download our podcast, and take VOA Asia with you. Find us at voanews.com, and let's hear from you on VOA Asia Facebook and our email at voaasia@voanews.com. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, John Ellison, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VO Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Skylar Ogden, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Anna Cook. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Enjoy your day.